This morning we talked to you a little bit about the Christmas songs that are in the Bible, and Dr. J. Vernon McGee said there was five: the Elizabeth song, the second one is Mary's song, is which we will study tonight, and then Zacharias' Benedictus, and then the angel's song, and then the song that we studied this morning and John sang about, Simeon's song. And so tonight we're going to look at Mary's song. And we're going to check it out verse by verse. And I want to get your thoughts on this as we look at, you know, in a way who Mary is, and then in a way of who she said her son is. And I think this is very important when we look at this. In the Latin, this song, Mary's song, is called the Magnificat. And the Magnificat comes from verse 46, where Mary said, you know, my soul magnifies the Lord. Now, if any of you know anything about Catholicism, they have a book that goes out monthly to their parishioners called the Magnificat. And they are given each day much like a devotional, to read. And they are to meditate on that scripture. Now, what comes out of the Vatican is a homily of the text that you must preach on when you do Mass. And so this is something that I'm thankful today when the Lord Jesus Christ called me to preach, and Brother Thomas and others here that have been called to preach, that I'm thankful we don't have to answer to the Pope. I'm thankful that we answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he puts a message on our heart, we are to listen to what he's called us to preach. And so I want you to think about that this evening. I had a very good friend. He's still one of my dear friends. He's a Catholic, and he is a good man. I enjoy visiting with him. He's a good man, and we visit on this. He bought me one year for Christmas subscription to the Magnificat, and I got it for a year. And I would read some of it, and it was good. There's a lot of it's good stuff. But I'm thankful today that the Holy Spirit has illuminated you and I, that we can read the Word of God for ourselves, and that we can study to show ourselves approved. We don't need the Vatican to tell us, well, this is what that scripture means. And we don't need the Vatican to tell us, well, this portion of the Bible is really outdated. And that's what Pope Francis, if many of you don't know, that's what he's doing on a lot of social issues right now. And you and I need to be aware, because I truly believe with all my heart he is a snake in the grass. I believe that he could be a foreshadowing of the false prophet that is seen in Revelation chapter 13. Pope Francis has said some things that are alarming. And the conservative branch of the Catholic Church, they are understanding this and they are speaking out. This friend of mine, he is staunchly against Pope Francis. So it's interesting to see what's going on in the Catholic Church. But let's move off the Catholic Church and let's move into the Bible. And let's look at what Mary said in her heart when she learned about the baby that she was to have. It says here, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And when she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But by this is granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, just like Simeon, knew that Mary was carrying the child of God. And in this she says, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And so that is Elizabeth's song, and Mary responds to her. And Mary responds in this manner in verse 46. My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. I want you to notice a couple of things about Mary here that we pointed out this morning. Mary was not perfect. Therefore, she should never be worshipped as perfect. Therefore, she should never be worshipped, because she is fallen just like you and I. She, in her disobedience, she, in her knowledge that she is a sinner that needs to be saved by grace, What did she say? My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul exalts the Lord above all. My soul magnifies Him. I want you to think about that this evening when it comes to your soul. Does your soul exalt the Lord above all things in your life? Does your soul exalt the Lord, the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ? This is a reflection of the Song of Mary as found in prophecy way back in the book of 1 Samuel. It's found when Hannah found out that she would have Samuel. And I want to read this to you because I want you to parallel the differences and the similarities of this over in 1 Samuel. Let me read that to you just real quick. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor there is any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bowels of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust, and He lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of His saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven He will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to His king and exalt the horn of His anointed." Doesn't that prayer of Hannah's sound very familiar when you read the Song of Mary? And so when you see this tonight, we see that there was a great respect of God from not only Hannah, but from this, many theologians say, 16-year-old virgin, Mary. And so when we look at this tonight, she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord," verse 47, "My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Rejoiced in God my Savior. The contextual structure of this sentence says this: I need a personal, intimate relationship with my God, my Savior. Notice what Mary is admitting there, that she is a fallen sinner in need of a Savior. Folks, all of us tonight need to admit that we're fallen and we're in need of a Savior. She says, my spirit rejoiced in God, my Savior. And listen to what she says here in verse 48. People don't ever like to talk about election in the Bible, but it's very clearly seen here. It's very clearly seen here in verse 48. "For He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant." Regarded in the Greek means to be chosen. Wow. Why did God choose Mary? Well, let me answer that for you tonight. I have no idea. I have no idea. Why did God choose me for salvation? All I can do is praise Him. So when you look at this tonight and you see this, and He says, "For He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant." He chose Mary for, wow, what a purpose, to carry the Son of God. When you think about that, the maidservant, again, not a politically correct word in 2020, it means female slave. Who was she a female slave to? She was a slave to her Lord and Savior. And when you look at this tonight, you and I have been called to be servants to Him. And as we're called to be servants to Him, we're called to be a doulos. We're called to be a slave to Him. And as we're called to be a slave to Him, our will does not matter. His will is all that matters. Brother Jim prayed that in the prayer tonight. That abundantly of what's going to happen out of any prayer request that we have, all that matters is God's will. And sometimes that shakes us to the core. But this is who God is. He is holy above all holies. And when we look at this tonight, Mary understood this. She said, "For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." And haven't they did that? They have called her blessed. Mary did not see herself as some type of divinity. She saw herself as a humble, lowly maidservant. Wow. To be humble. To be the mother of God. Verse 49. Listen to this. Woo. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Mary yielded to the will of God. God worked mightily on the behalf of Mary, this young girl. I can probably guarantee this tonight, even though it's not said in Scripture, that she was probably frightened, scared, lonely, wondering what in the world is going on here. Why me? And to be chosen, regarded as the lowly maidservant to carry the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Wow. Her soul magnifies the Lord. His mercy, in verse 50, is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. How do I know that He has shown me mercy? Because those of us who fear the Lord, He will show His mercy and He will show His grace. A healthy fear for the Lord, church, is a good thing for you and I to have. These folks that have an unhealthy fear of the Lord, they use His name in vain, they mock Him, they say things that are just downright, to me, blasphemous. And these people that say these things over and over again and do these things over and over again, folks, I'm here to tell you today, our God will not have mercy on ones that are unjust. They have a place awaiting them. And you and I, praise God tonight, we have been shown mercy. While we were yet sinners, He was rich in what? He was rich in His mercy. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? He didn't give us what we deserve. We deserve hell. But He didn't give it to us. What did He give us? He gave us the greatest gift of all. He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. So Mary understood this. His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. Now, we want to look at some things here in verse 51 through 53. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, he is good at alliteration, and he can put the H's to it. I never was good at that. That's why you come looking for a sermon for me that's going to have this letter and this letter and this. I can't do that. But he pointed this out, and he pointed it out really well. God does this. He takes the helpless, He takes the humble, and He takes the hungry, and He uses them for His purpose. And so let's look at this tonight and read this of what Mary said about our God. "He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty." I want you to think about that as we work our way through that. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. The proud was the Pharisees. We are looking for a Messiah that is going to come in and they are going to rule over us and take over the Roman government. But what happened here? He's shown strength with His arm by sending a Savior to be born in a manger. In the city of David called Bethlehem, which is the house of bread, that was so insignificant on the census count that people said, "Oh, it don't even matter." And what did He do? He took the helpless and He made them powerful. Look at verse 52. He put down the mighty from their thrones, King Herod. The mighty from their thrones, and what did he do? He exalted the lowly. I love Matthew chapter 2 when the wise men come on the scene. And they come on the scene, and man, I tell you what, flip over there with me just real quick. Matthew chapter 2. I want to look at this just real quick this evening. Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that something, that he put down the mighty from their thrones and he exalted the lowly? When the wise men came on the scene in Jerusalem, they had caused quite a stir. They had been probably traveling for 2 years. Because Jesus was not in a manger. The Bible says that he was in a house. He was a child in a house. So as they came on the scene and they came to Jerusalem and they're following the star, and the star is going from north to south and it's carrying them right to the house that he's in Bethlehem. And you think about these things today when you study this. King Herod was troubled. This king that was supposedly mighty, he's been basically scared. What's going on here? Somebody's going to overtake my throne. And what does Mary say here? And exalted the lowly. Exalted the lowly. So what do we see out of this? When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" We studied this through the Advent season, quoted out of the prophecy of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. And we look at this tonight, and what do we see? We see that wise men traveled 800 miles to come see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. These stupid scribes for Herod, they couldn't even walk 6 miles to see the King of Kings. I think that's how a lot of people are today. They won't get up and come to church because they're scared of COVID. But yet you see them in Walmart like it's nothing. You go and you watch people and you observe people. And they go to every function under the sun out here. They go to every type of event that's out here. They go to the ball games and pack the stands. And they go to the basketball gyms and pack the stands. But oh, how dare we come to church because we might be sitting too close to somebody. Folks, we need to be wise men when it comes to worshiping the Lord. This is very clear. And so my prayer is tonight is that we understand that the humble, he exalts. He exalts the humble. Verse 53. "He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away. He has sent away empty." Isn't that good? Mary is a poor peasant girl. Joseph is a carpenter trying to make ends meet. Probably didn't know when their next meal was going to come from. But praise God, Mary knew who God was. He filled the hungry with good things. And what did he do with the rich? He sent them away empty. He sent them away empty. I heard Brother Fred one night up here in the pulpit. I'll never forget this. He said when he was a pastor and going to being a barber, that he and Miss Carolyn sometimes would just have a plate of spaghetti and some green beans. And he said that was one of the best meals that he ever ate, because it came from the Lord. How many of you have been there before? You've sat before these big extravagant tables of meals, and you sit there and you're like, oh man. But then when you know that your food has been given to you by the Lord, doesn't it make it a lot better? Doesn't it make it a lot more precious? That's what Mary was saying there. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, God flips society upside down. He causes the weak to become strong. He causes the humble to scatter the proud. He calls the unknowns to be exalted. He causes the rich to be made poor. Alistair Begg said this. He said, no one saw King David coming from Jesse. No one saw Samuel coming from Hannah. And no one saw Jesus coming from Mary. He exalts the lowly. Amen. That's how good our God is. And we need to remember that, folks. There's not any of us in here better than anybody else. We need to remember that we've been all made in the image of God, and we need to respect each other for that. When you look at this tonight, he has made that promise to not only Mary, but to each of us, as we know. But then he gets very specific in verse 54 and 55, and he speaks to the nation of Israel. And we want to speak to the nation of Israel tonight. I think it's very important. Verse 54 says, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Let me make this very clear. I think some people don't understand this, but I want to make this very clear tonight. God is always going to take care of Israel. Always. You and I don't ever have to worry about what President Trump did by negotiating these peace treaties with different countries around Israel. We don't have to be concerned about Iran making a pact with Russia for a nuclear weapon agreement to possibly invade the country of Israel. Because I'm going to tell you, folks, that little piece of sacred land, the size of our state, New Jersey, is held up over there in the surroundings of enemies only by the hand of God. And he makes it very clear here through Mary, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. In remembrance of his mercy. Over in the book of Isaiah, let me read this to you real quick. Isaiah, that's going to be in chapter 41, in verses 8 and 9. This is his promise to the nation of Israel. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, here we go, whom I have chosen. Okay? Whom I have chosen. Listen to this. He goes on, he says, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wow, what a promise from God to his people. Isn't that amazing? So when we look at this tonight, we need to understand in verse 55, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever, that Israel is always going to be protected by God. And I want to point some of these things out to you tonight, because you and I, as born-again believers, we need to be staunch supporters of Israel. Staunch supporters. And so right now we have a president still in office that is a staunch supporter of Israel. The man that is going to take his place in January is not a staunch supporter of Israel. So what does that tell me? That tells me the next time that I get to the polls, I've got to do something about this, because my Bible tells me that I need to be the nation that blesses the nation of Israel. And how do I know this? Okay, take your Bible and mark this. Go to Genesis chapter 12. This is the Abrahamic covenant. Genesis chapter 12. A lot of people, including myself, are leery of John Hagee and his ministries. John Hagee is a very outstanding orator. He's a very good preacher. He is a hellfire and brimstone preacher. Some of his theology, I'm just going to be honest with you tonight, it's a little whack. But one of the things that John Hagee does, and he has been commended by politicians around the world, is his support for the nation of Israel. And I know that we may not agree with theology when it comes to that, but one thing I would hope New Hope Baptist Church would agree on tonight is that we are called as born-again believers to support the nation of Israel. And I want you to see this in Genesis chapter 12. God makes this very clear to Abraham. He said, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, that land of Ur, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Listen to this. "I will bless those who bless you." That is a promise from God. How many of you believe in the promises of God? He goes on, he says, "I will curse him who curses you." I'll curse him who curses you. "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." You look at the nation of Israel and how blessed they are. They were the first to come out with a vaccination for COVID-19. First. They were the first to be able to take air, and take the humidity out of the air and create water for their soldiers. Their inventions, a friend of mine sent me this, and I'm not being racist tonight, but it's the truth. He sent me a chart, and the chart put on there the inventions by Jews. And there were so many on this chart, you couldn't list them all. And then it put on there the invention by Muslims. Just a handful. Folks, listen to me tonight. The Jewish people are blessed by God. And you and I need to support the nation of Israel. He says in Genesis 26, flip over there real quick if you'd like. Genesis 26, verses 1 through 5. He makes this promise to Isaac. "There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Amalek, the king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I tell you to live in. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give peace to your descendants, all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, kept my commandments, my statutes, and my law.'" Isn't that awesome? God's going to take care of the nation of Israel. And so you and I need to think about these things. I've gotten my notes here tonight, and I'm probably not going to say it because I know it'll make some people mad. All the things that President Trump did for the nation of Israel. And then I've got on here President-elect Biden, all the things that he's done for the nation of Israel. It's pretty much like that chart that I just told you about, okay? I'm just going to say that because it's the truth. And if you need to fact check me on that, fact check me, okay? Because you and I, we need to be a people that says in this United States of America that we've been blessed to live in. We need to say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we are going to serve the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are going to support the nation of Israel. Mary makes this very clear in the Magnificat. "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." David wrote in Psalm 122, he says this, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you." Do you love the Jewish people tonight? Do you love the nation of Israel tonight? Do you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Let me tell you tonight, folks, I hope and pray you're not like some of these wackos that have put all your faith in a president. I hope and pray that you're not like some of these wackos and put your faith in an organization that supports countries. I hope and pray you understand tonight the only way for Jerusalem to ever have peace is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Mary knew that. And when Mary magnified him, she knew that her son, her Savior, was going to bring peace to the nation of Israel. But more importantly, she knew, as lost sinners, that he would bring peace to our heart and to our soul. Aren't you thankful for our Lord and Savior tonight? With that being said, Let's go to Him in prayer. And just praise His name tonight for saving our soul. And pray for the people of Israel. And then we will go into the business meeting tonight. And just pray for a good unified church. Not selfish, but unified in God. To give Him the glory that He deserves. For our guest here tonight, we're thankful that you're with us. And you're more than welcome to leave after our prayer. Brother Thomas Ricks, will you dismiss us in prayer tonight?